Welcome to the Permatemp Corporation. A presentation of the audio podcast, This Is Actually Happening. Episode 63. What if another realm moved through you?
At a medical device manufacturing company. I was a transition manager, so the nature of my work involved traveling often. I was responsible for moving, departments, processes from one location into San Antonio, consolidating it into San Antonio. I currently live in the Fort Worth area, so I was traveling between Fort Worth and San Antonio quite often. It was up to 75% of my time. So with a wife and two children, as you can imagine, that kind of complicated things in my personal life. So I had a lot of time to myself after work. I'd meet up with friends or go to a bar or go to dinner. It was about a year and a half ago. I was, 33, 34 at that time. It was just another routine week in San Antonio. I was responsible for training a new group of transition managers or project managers that were hired, training, ramping up a new team. So nothing out of the ordinary. The workday ended at 5 o'clock, have a team dinner, outing. But after that, after dinner, it's typically when I was free, me, myself, and I. I remember the night, it was on Thursday night. It was June 26th. It was, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. So I went down to the lobby, went to the Applebee's next door. I just sat down at the bar and ordered a Crown and Coke for, just a nightcap. It's typically what I do to unwind and get, settled in for the night and rest up for the following day. I remember World Cup was going on in the background on the TV monitors playing at the bar in San Antonio. It was a regular night at that time. Time kind of slips by. I'm on the phone checking the latest Facebook updates. I'm trying to communicate with my wife, get a hold of her, say goodnight to the kids before they went to bed. I was in my own little world, just passing time. At one point, I did look to my left, and there was a gentleman, what appeared to be at that time a random guy next to me at the bar. I could tell that he was from out of town, that he too was, working. He was away from his family. He looked exhausted after a long week. Well, after a while, just checking my phone, I felt a tight pressure around my chest. Prior to this incident, I've never felt a pain around my chest. There was nothing to, cause any anxiety or stress or anything like that. So I felt this heavy, heavy pressure on my chest. And I was looking around. I'm like, wait, I'm not sweating. I don't have fever. I did a quick, body scan, body check to make sure that I wasn't having a heart attack. But no, I was completely normal. I was enjoying my Crown and Coke. Definitely not drunk. Definitely not even buzzed or anything. I don't know what's going on. Maybe try to wrap up the emails that I have pending for work. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing things. The best way I can describe it, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the ViewMaster. It was an early toy back in the day in the 80s, I believe. You're able to put a reel in it and then click through it, fast forward it. If you can just imagine that ViewMaster picture, it was over what I was looking at. So it was superimposed. Whoa, this is weird. What's going on? There was only the bartender, this random guy next to me, and me at the bar, so it was very few people, and I hadn't left the bar or anything. I haven't left my drink unattended. So I was, at that moment, I was kind of freaking out. I'm like, I've never hallucinated before. I've never, what is this? It was completely, completely new to me. I saw the number 52, and I, at that moment, I'm like, okay, hey. That was the first time I spoke to him. You know, I looked at him like, hey, are you 52? You know, I think typically the most common way of introducing yourself, you're like, hi, hey, how's it going? Or long night, right? But some random guy was asking him if he was 52. I don't know, I wanted to make sure that what I was seeing and feeling made sense to someone, you know, because it didn't at all click with me whatsoever. So I just looked over him and I said, hey, are you 52? He looked at me, he hesitated. I remember him hesitating, and he said, yes, why? Yeah, I'm 52. I'm like, okay. I have another question for you. Are you a banker by chance? Are you a banker? He looked at me. He's like, yeah. Do I know you? Do we have mutual friends? I'm like, no. I'm like, this is completely weird, man. If you want me to stop, I can go ahead and stop. I don't know. I'm seeing and feeling things. I don't know if do you want me to continue or not? He goes, yeah, no. Go ahead, continue. I'm like, okay. There's a male around you at the moment. He's trying to come through. It, for me, it was equally bizarre as for, on his point of view, listening to some random guy talking to him about a possible male energy around him. It was the first time I've ever uttered the words male energy. He's like, okay. I'm like, well, there's an uncle around you. He's around you. Did he? And the next thing I saw, kid you not, was you remember the old game, the operations game? I saw the outline of the operations guy, but the heart was red. And I asked him, I'm like, hey, did your uncle die of a heart attack or something to do with, you know, complications of the heart? He looked at me, he was freaking out at this time. He's like, yes, he did. Are you sure we don't know each other? I'm like, no, I don't know what's going on. It's completely weird. I'm not completely drunk yet, but I'm seeing, feeling things. And I heard a name. I'm like, and the name came up, Miguelito. At that moment, I had kept hearing it over and over again, but I'm like, there's no way this guy is Miguelito or Miguel. To me, I'm like, it's kind of, you know, weird, racist to say, hey, are you Miguelito? Is kind of coming up to another Latino and saying, hey, are you Juan? Or, you know, it's just, I don't know. It was weird. I'm like, well, I hear the name Miguelito. Did your uncle call you Miguelito? He, at that moment, looked at me completely pale. I had hit a nerve with him at that moment. And at that moment, he wanted to either run away from this random weird guy that was asking him questions about his dead uncle, or proceed. After a while, after, you know, a long pause, he said, yeah, he did call me Miguelito. At this point, I'm like, okay, I knew what I was feeling, hearing, seeing. It didn't make sense to me at that moment. I'm like, okay, good. I'm not, you know, drugged. I'm not weird. I'm not schizophrenic. I'm not hallucinating. I'm not, you know, this is something that I'm experiencing. It is completely real. It doesn't make sense to me because it's not my story. I knew immediately. I was able to identify his uncle's farm. I was able to describe the green truck and the cactus field that he ran around when he was little. I was able to confirm, to verify that the person that I was feeling was indeed his uncle. He kept showing me a boy, a picture of a boy of a negative relationship. It wasn't a happy relationship because I felt, neglected. I felt overlooked. Miguel at that moment wasn't able to connect or relate to the image that I kept seeing of the little boy. And then I asked him, like, was there anyone else in the family where there was a boy who was either abused, neglected, or he didn't have a good relationship with his uncle? And at that moment, it clicked with Miguel. He goes, yes. He had just found out that his uncle had a dual life. Apart from being married and having a family, he had a mistress on the side as well, and had another family with that mistress, a boy that his uncle never had a relationship with, that his uncle didn't acknowledge. I could tell that the dead uncle was very resentful and apologetic that he didn't, acknowledge his son that he had with another lady. I could tell that he was very adamant about the need to try to include his son in with the family, because what I was seeing, what I was feeling, was that the son was very isolated. It was just very dark energy that I had, that I felt surrounding this kid who wasn't acknowledged. So I kept telling Miguel, I'm like, your uncle is telling me for you to make that connection, to establish a relationship with your cousin. No other information regarding the son from the affair was given. I just felt the negative energy that he was going through. I could tell that he felt isolated, abandoned by his dead father. Oddly enough, by this point, he was open and he was communicating, sharing information regarding his family. It was a very tense situation with the family dynamics. He felt that by reaching out to his half-cousin that he would be disloyal to his aunt. So, I'm like, hey, you don't do with the message what you want to do. I'm just simply relaying the message from, your uncle, is what I told him. And then, weird thing, I'm like, I don't know. I saw a WF and I saw the number 89. I knew he was a banker. I'm like, do you work at Wells Fargo? I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of. I'm like, do you work at Wells Fargo? He goes, no, I don't work at Wells Fargo. I'm like, okay, well, I see the number, the letters WF and 89. And at this point, it was surreal. I'm like, I don't know what just happened. I had an in-depth conversation with a random guy at the bar. I don't know what's going on. I remember looking at him and saying, you got my bar tab, that's my payment for channeling your dead uncle. And I just walked out and went up to my room and never, heard from him, saw him again. I don't even think he had the opportunity to process what was going on. I'm in my room afterward. I'm like, what just happened? What just occurred? Trying to process it. Again, going through the whole thing. My little mental checklist. I'm like, I'm not drunk. I'm not under the influence of any kind of, drug or anything like that. I'm not schizophrenic. I'm like, wait, do I have anyone in the family who's schizophrenic? I'm like, I'm here. I can recognize my name. I can, hit the power on button on the TV remote. I don't know, just to make sure that I was able to do regular stuff, what I was seeing and feeling at that moment. So just trying to put myself back in that moment without the influence of a spirit. This is my heartbeat. This is my pulse. I'm feeling the bed. I'm like, I feel this bed. I was trying to touch things, pour water in my face to try to, center myself. It's the best way I can describe it. It was apparent that the dead uncle was still trying to communicate. He kept showing me the WF and the 89. The WF letter turned into the color red. The WNF turned red. Don't know what that means. Don't know what 89 mean. I can tell that the pain in my chest had completely subsided. At this time, I don't know, it was 12 o'clock. It was, midnight, a little after midnight. I knew my wife was in bed. I kept calling her and calling her. I think after the fourth or fifth time, she finally picked up the phone. I'm like, gotta tell you what happened. Wake up. I'm like, I am fucking Teresa Caputo. It's who I am. Teresa Caputo is the Long Island medium. She had the show on TLC, and my wife was a big fan of Teresa Caputo. That night after I talked to my wife, she calmed me down. We said a little prayer. We are Methodists, practicing Methodists. And we said a prayer. I grew up Catholic, so, you know, I live in the Bible Belt. So definitely religion is a big influence. So yeah, we said a prayer together. I was able to go to bed, but the following day, you know, going to work is when all of a sudden, you know, my world completely turned upside down. Initially, I was drained. I was overwhelmed. I was seeing, feeling, hearing things from multiple angles from people around me. I was not able to function at work. I don't know. I kept feeling different things for different people. I felt like my boss. I felt his mother come through. I knew that the mother was very sorry that she didn't show the affection that she showed the older son. So just different things, different scenarios, like different spirits were attracted to me, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I was lost. I was completely lost in, I don't even know what the realm is called, this other spiritual realm. And I was grasping to be grounded. I felt like I was walking, you know, on clouds, but in a bad way. You know, I was picking up on the energy from different spirits. I would go to the local grocery store and I'd be able to tell exactly what each person around me was going through, the good and the bad. What I've learned since then was it is very important to, you know, ground yourself, to meditate, and to let go of the energy that follows you throughout the day. Because if you don't, you can get lost in that energy. That following day, it was a Friday, I was flying back home on the airport, you know, American Airlines, from San Antonio to DFW. I saw this gentleman next to me. I was seeing images of India, of elephants, of different Indian goddesses, you know, and I can tell that he had just come back from this huge monumental trip. I don't know how to describe it. I was bombarded by different images, sounds, pictures, different feelings. So yeah, it was overwhelming for the next, I would say, 2 months until I learned how to manage it. I was unusually tired. I was loopy. You know how you feel after you cram for a final and then you take that final and then, you know, for the couple of hours after that final, after that last final, how loopy you feel. It's like, I was just loopy. Is the best way I can describe it. You know, shortly, you know, the time period afterward, I gravitated toward religion, the Bible, to try to ground myself. I researched the topic online, found out that meditation helps with grounding. I remember I made an effort to try to win myself over, like to try to beat this. I'm like, I'm not going to be walking around. It's insane to be walking around and feeling the way I was feeling at that time. What I've come to realize is I can set boundaries of typically of when I want to have spirits to come through and when I do not want spirits to bother me. When they were contacting me, I would keep it to myself. At that time, I didn't feel that I could share it with anyone. I mean, imagine you're in the Bible Belt in Texas. You know, people like that aren't receptive to anything apart from, you know, the Bible. It was a month or two after that occurred that I even had the audacity to share it with my brother, who I'm very close with. But my brother is a very skeptic. And he's very skeptical of things like that, of the spiritual realm. He's like, okay. You know, whatever. Grew up Catholic. You know, I married a Methodist. I went to the largest Baptist private university in America, Baylor University. Growing up, I wasn't really exposed to other religions. You know, the whole spiritual awakening was, for a minute there, was completely, I don't want to say it tested my faith in God, but it kind of wrinkled my faith. I turned to the Bible more, talked to my wife more about it. I can say now that it further solidifies my faith. Like, I can now honestly say I understand what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit mean, how they're separate entities but connected to one ultimate God. I now comprehend that. Like, here was this guy, Miguel's dead uncle, had an affair with his wife, had another separate family. You know, adultery in the Bible is bad. But if you commit adultery and you go to hell, how am I able to communicate with you? You know, like, the dead uncle didn't feel like it was a negative spirit. It was an evil spirit. To me at that time, like, it didn't make sense. I'm like, it felt, divine. So I knew that it was part of God, you know, the white light. I do remember the night after the bar incident. I remember clearly, you know, saying to God that I don't want anything to do with, if there is black magic, if there is evil, if there is the devil, I didn't want anything to do with that. You know, if it was my calling for me to channel people, it would be under the protection of God, Jesus, moving forward. Each morning I do a quickly a 10-minute prayer meditation to set my parameters for the day. You know, I thank God for blessing me with another day. I ask for Him to center me and ground me throughout the day, and allowing only those who walk in God's white light to come through. And I say, usually from the hours of 8 to 5, I'm at work and I need to be productive. So if you can not show up during that time, I'd appreciate it. Religion and mediumship can go hand in hand. It doesn't have to be the devil's work. Mediumship does not equate to the devil's work. Now, after a year and a half, become bold enough to channel people for people here at work. I mean, that's relatively new. I was completely sheltered, completely afraid of the stigma surrounding, you know, channeling people, being a medium. Hay House Radio actually has a couple of mediums online, and I enrolled in a couple of online on-demand courses that they have available to try to ground and protect yourself, knowing the different clairs, you know, clairvoyant, clairsentient. So just being introduced to that world. But yeah, it took a while for me to get to this point. Again, previously I had no exposure apart from the Long Island medium on TLC for my wife. But even then, that was more her thing. And I would watch it with her when I was either forced to watch it with her or there was nothing else on TV. After I posted my blog, you know, I've had people call me or get a hold of me in some way to schedule a reading, a session. I'm kind of doing that when it happens, not making an effort, you know, marketing myself. I'm not quitting my daytime job anytime soon. If someone comes up to me and asks me, can I do a reading? Yes. I now have control of turning it on or off at my will. Angels usually appear, like, for example, Mother Mary. Anytime that she appears in a reading, I know that there's children involved. Anytime I feel or sense Archangel Gabriel, I know it's announcing a birth of a child or announcing something big. He was the deliverer of messages. So something monumental is occurring. It's completely changed the way I view life. I know that as human beings, we're all connected. We all are spiritually connected. We all have a soul. We're all governed by our free will, but ultimately it needs to align with the higher source, with the higher spirit, with God, whatever you choose to call, you know, your faith. Life does go on the spirit realm. I'm not privy to exactly the details of how life goes on in the spirit realm, but I know that they know what you're going through. They see what you're going through. They hear your prayers. They're listening to you. You may not be able to feel them. You may not be able to see them as I do, but I know that they're around, and I know that they're always trying to, per your request, will intervene to try to help out. Literally, we're all brothers and sisters, from the person in Africa to the person in Nepal to the person in Fort Worth, Texas. We are all brothers and sisters connected spiritually to a higher being.